And so I'll ask you, if you have your Bibles, I'm not going to read the text first. We're going to continue on our teaching on marriage. And if you weren't here last Wednesday, I do have copies of that for you. We talked last Wednesday, you remember, on the unity of marriage, on the two are one, and what all that means. It means even more than what I was able to teach in that short period of time. But we covered it pretty thickly, I think, or tried to. The two are one. Whenever you're married, the two are one. You have one, you have one pocketbook. You have one house. I mean, I'm talking about that you live together in. Everything's one. You have one family. Both families are one family. And so a marriage not only joins a man and wife, but it joins two families. It's a very important thing. And we make a lot of jokes about marriage. We do. It's been the subject of jokes probably longer than anything out there. But y'all, marriage is really not a joking matter. It's one of the, if it's not the most sacred institution, it's certainly one of the top ones. But I believe it's the most sacred institution that man's ever engaged in. And the reason being is it's such a picture of the union of God and man. In the Old Testament, God told Israel, I'm married to you. That was never really fully understood until in the New Testament when we started learning about Christ and His bride and the church being the bride of Christ. And so marriage is a picture then of Christ and the church. And we're going to go into that right off the bat. We're looking tonight, or I hope to tonight, as we look into marriage, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians first in chapter 5. We want to look at men and women in their relationship in marriage. I'm not so much going to give a how-to seminar tonight. I've heard a lot of those, and I guess that's useful sometimes. But that's not what I want to get into. I want to get into the love of a man and woman for each other in marriage. Now, I want y'all to hear that again. Marriage is built on a four-letter word. It's built on love. And I understand that we're human beings, and I understand that we're not perfected in these bodies yet. And so there's a lot of flaws that come out in us and that come out in our marriages and everything else. But marriage is built on love. Love. If there is no love, the marriage will not last as it's supposed to. It may last, but it'll never last like it's supposed to. It'll never be what it's supposed to be. Marriage is necessarily built on love. Again, I know this world makes a big joke out of that, but y'all, that's for real. That really is. Because the marriage of God and man is built on love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We come to Him because we love Him. And He loved us. And so marriage being the type of Christ in the church, it's built on love. And there's one other thing that I want to get into before I start reading. I'm going to be in Ephesians 5 in a minute. And I'll begin in verse 22 and read to the rest of the chapter. But I don't want you to get tied down in that right yet. I want you to hear this. Marriage is built on an unselfish love. Selfishness will cause problems in every marriage it enters into. Selfishness is the fastest way to cause a problem in a marriage. We often accuse God of selfishness. Do you believe that? We do. When we think of how God deserves all the glory, and we think, well, that's not fair. Now, I know you don't say that out loud, but I know how that little doubt pops in the back of your mind, because that's what Satan does. He comes in the back of our mind and says, well, isn't that selfish of God to demand your glory? Isn't that selfish of God to demand your praise? Isn't that selfish of God to demand that you live by His rules? See, that's what the tempter, the evil one, would tell us in the back of our minds. Now, whether you believe that or not, and I don't believe it either, you know that the devil's tried to tempt you with that before. Well, God's not selfish. He wants us to do those things because we love Him. But He's proved that He loves us. Do you follow that? If we praise Him and honor Him and give Him thanks because we love Him, then we do right. If we give Him thanks because we're supposed to, we've done nothing. He gives us everything because He loves us. Now we're going to go into this thing of the husband and wife in marriage. And the love, I want you to get this, the love of a husband to a wife, and if I have time, the love of a wife for her husband. It's not the rules of marriage, it's the love in marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, Paul here is writing. Now, he's just got through writing to the church and told them in the verse before, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, talking to the whole church, how we're all supposed to honor each other. And now, he starts here talking about in the marriage. How does this work in the marriage? The very first sentence he says gets all kinds of people mad because they don't understand what it's about. A lack of understanding will get you mad for no reason. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Again, what he's describing, he starts off in this verse describing the love of a woman for her husband. And this is true. Women, if you love your husbands, you submit to him. Now, I'm not making a joke. You don't see me smiling. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't believe me, read your Bibles. It's just right there. That is the love of a wife for her husband. It's to submit to him. Any wife that will not submit to her husband does not love him as she is supposed to. But a woman who submits to her husband out of love. Now, listen, not because the church told her to or the pastor told her to or because that's the way she was raised, but rather any woman who submits herself to her husband because she loves him is fulfilling the role of a wife as God intended. And I say these things not to drive home points and not to hammer anybody, but I say these things to help you, husbands and wife both. These are the things that should help guide you. You know, is your love for your spouse right? Men, I'll be on your part in a minute. And women, right now, it's just this one verse on you. And then we'll be going into the men's part. But all of this should help you. If you find you fall short on this, this is where you dig. This is where that you seek God's help in bettering your marriage from your own standpoint. But wives, if you're submitting yourselves because you want to, because you love Him, then you do right. By the way, there's one little word in here I want to bring out. And that's that word own. O-W-N. Not submit yourselves to anything, to anybody's husband, but to your own husband. This is a big, big deal. There is a reason why. Y'all know where the number one place that affairs start? You know, it's the number one place where affairs start. If you had to pick a place, where do you think most affairs start? Not in bars. That's not even in the top five. Work. The workplace is the number one place. Number one, the gym is number two. The gym is number two because everybody's out there with their bodies uncovered. But number one place is at work. Why? Because what work does is tear the family apart. Because a workplace is not all men and all women. It's all men and women from different families mixed in there. And it's men who now have the attention of women other than the ones they're married to, and women who are submitting themselves to somebody else's husband. You think about it. It creates an artificial bond that was never supposed to be there. The workplace is a dangerous place. You say, I know you ain't preaching against women in the workplace, preacher. I'm just telling you it's a dangerous place. You make your own conclusions. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You have no loyalty to any man above your own husband. Anywhere. Not your boss. If your husband says you ought to quit that job, then you ought to quit it. How about that one? Y'all like apples? How's them apples? You have no loyalty to any man above your own husband. And in case there's any confusion about that, as unto the Lord. It's that serious. is that serious. It's one of those scriptures, one of those verses, where there's just no room to balk. Now, he's describing the love of a woman for her husband. He's not putting demands and rules. He's describing the love of a woman for her husband. Now, I want you to think about that. That's great love, is it not? That's great love. For the woman to submit herself to her husband above all men on earth, as unto the Lord, that describes a great love. And by the way, men, we should appreciate that. Now we're going to go into the rest of this chapter, which deals with a man's love for his wife. And if I have time when we're through with this, we'll go back into the woman's love for her husband. We'll find that in 1 Peter, more so. And again, it's all through the Bible. I'm just trying to find the places that are rich in these descriptions. The next verse in there says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now, the first verse we have was submissive on the woman's part. Now, this part here describes the relationship of the man and the woman. The man is the head of the wife. Not just the head of the home, he's the head of his wife, particularly. I didn't write it, I'm just telling you. And it is true. That doesn't mean he's the tyrant or he's the evil king. Now, here's where I'm going to go with this. I don't think I'm ever going to get through this tonight. This might go into another week. You can tell what a man thinks of God by how he treats his wife. I promise you. I don't care if he goes to church or not. You can tell what a man thinks of God by how he treats his wife. A man who is a cruel ruler to his wife believes that God is a cruel ruler. A man who loves his wife believes that God loves him. I'm telling you, it's true. Says the man is the head of the wife. If that man believes in God, that's not an evil thing. The man's the head of his wife. It says, even as Christ is the head of the church. See, it compares the two. It has the man the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. Does Christ love his church? Whether or not you believe, I know you say you believe that. If you really believe it, it'll show. And by the way, women, when we get to your part, that's also true the other way. Does the church submit to Christ? Or does the church tell Christ what to do? How you act tells me what you believe. Not what comes out of your mouth, but how you act tells me what you believe. So we start understanding here this thing of marriage and how whether or not our marriage is driven by love and whether or not we're really fulfilling this thing really does tell what we believe about God. Now then, the thing I see in here also, men, for you particularly, it says, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. How do we know that He loved the church? Because He gave Himself. As a matter of fact, how did He save the body? The body is the church. How did He save it? He gave Himself. Men, your love is a sacrificial love. I want you to hear me all. This ain't just for a dry lecture. You will be required to give up things you like or love. You will be required to give up your time. You will be required to give up your money. You will be required to give up your personal space. You will be required to give up all of these things. Not because your wife demands it. That's not a good marriage. But because your love for your wife demands it. Do you follow me? I watched my father oftentimes not do things I knew he wanted to do because he found his wife and his kids more important. And maybe you've got that same testimony. If you really love your wife, you'll make sacrifices for her. And that means that time with your wife might be more important than that hunting trip that all the rest of the boys are going on. And that means that time with your wife might be more important than buying a four-wheeler. As a matter of fact, what your wife wants becomes more important than what you want. Now, if I understand Christ
correctly, that's true. Is that right? Now, I'm not just talking about money. I mean, money is just one of those things that will fall. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about, and by the way, did Christ leave a book of rules on how you were to do every single little thing in your life? What he left was the guiding principles of how he liked things, not a little bitty minute book of rules. If you're to be the head of your wife, that means you're the leader. Some basic leadership things. If you really want a good leadership course, it's right here. It's in the Bible. It's not at a seminar. How do we lead? As Christ led. By love. He told us the things that He desired. He told us the things that we should do. And He left us to do them. So, sir, I would say to you, would you want to rule your house in every little detail of how everything goes and everything goes in your house? You'd be wise if you left it to your wife. She'd be a lot happier and you would too. This all makes sense to you, doesn't it? As Christ is the head of the church. Again, what we've got a description of here is the love of a man for a woman and the love of a woman for a man. Marriage is built on love, people. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. It always says their own husbands. You'll find that every time. He always says their own husbands. In everything. There's no exception listed. In everything. Again, if this thing is taken as a hateful thing, you'll have a marriage built on grudges and distrust. That's not right. That's not what God intends. This thing is built on love. Now, on the other side, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. There's that sacrificial love again. Gave Himself for it. So you give yourselves to your wives. That He might, now here we go, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Why did Christ give Himself for the church? That He might sanctify and cleanse it. Sanctify means set it apart. Claim it as His own. When you give yourself to your wife, you set her apart. You really claim her as your own by your love, not by your demands. You follow that? Marriage is built on love, people. It's a sanctifying love. Not only is it a sacrificial love, it's a sanctifying love. When you love your wife enough that you give yourself to her, you sanctify or set her apart. Set her apart from all the other women. Set her apart from all the other men that are out there. She's mine. Is what you're saying. That He might sanctify it. It says, and cleanse it. So it's sanctifying in the sense also that everything that who doesn't like is removed from the church. Everything that Christ doesn't like. Sir, if you'll treat your wife right, the little things that you don't like might end up coming back around either to where you like them or to where they're no longer there. In other words, you'll be better and better satisfied the more you love her. It's a sanctifying and cleansing love. It says that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Can I tell you that if you love your wife, it does her good? Just like it does you good, it does her good. Wives, if your husband loves you, you should be thankful because it does you good. And again, I'm going to say the same things coming the other way. But love itself is good for the person who's giving love and the person who receives love. So it's a sacrificial love. It's a sanctifying love. And we also find that it is a satisfying love. Because Christ loved the church, not only that he could clean it, but that it would satisfy him. And the more you love your wife, the more she will satisfy you in your own eyes. The more you set down in your heart that I love my wife, and if there's something about her that right now that bothers me, I'm going to look at it, I'm going to back off of it, and I'm going to say, well, you know what? I love her. And you know what you'll find? You'll find you'll get over those things. It's a satisfying love. Now, I don't know. You might think I'm just giving a lecture. I believe these things. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Where does that doctrine come from? Remember what we studied last week? The two are one. So you love your wife as your own body. She is your body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now I got something for you. When you're down there at the job and there's a group of men hang around wherever they hang around, water cooler or whatever, and one of them gets to griping and bad-mouthing his wife. And all men don't do that, by the way. But it seems like if you work around enough of them, there's one of them somewhere that will. You ever stop to think that what he's doing is bad-mouthing himself? Because the two are one. If you're bad-mouthing your wife, you're talking bad about yourself in front of everybody. It's the height of foolishness. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So how do you love your wife? Nourish and cherish. What does that mean? It means take care of. It means if she hurts, you do what you can to help her. Pamper her. Take care of her. Talk to her. Listen to her when she's talking. How many men have a hard time listening? About 105% of us. So we have to put a little effort into it. For we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. Y'all know where that comes from? Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. It says that's how close that Christ joined to us. That's how close we joined to our wives. For this cause, how about this? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Remember that we quoted that out of Genesis? Now catch what the next verse says. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That everlasting principle we said was set down, that we said is true of men and women when they join into marriage, not only was set down for men and women, but from the very beginning, before the first sin in the garden, the union of Christ and the church was set down in that verse. Now read that verse again and think of Christ and the church, because that's what Paul says it was written for. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. We are one with Jesus Christ. It says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, so it's not a general thing, but every one of you in particular, so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. That reverence means a great respect. A great respect. Same thing on that water cooler with that one man who just bad-mouths his wife. I've also worked in a restaurant where I was the only man, and I know how women are when there's about 50 of them together too. And women, if you bad-mouth your husband, you're talking bad about yourself. The same as men. No difference. And if you would expose his flaws, you're exposing your own. It's the same way, either way. Now, I want to read some. I was trying to get in here about the love of men for women, or the love of men for their wives, I should say. And I'm going to read in 1 Peter, and we're going to find that the love of a wife for her husband covers much of the same things. In 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll read the first 7 verses. I'm going to try to go through this quick enough to where we can get out of it. I'm not trying to hold you up long. I'm just trying to cover that marriage. Again, last week we covered that marriage makes two one. And this week just covering that marriage is based on love and nothing else, people. Nothing else. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. There it is again. But now, even though it set the order of men and women, and again, it's just talking about for, as Christ in the church, he's going to go into particulars. That, if any obey not the word, talking about those husbands, if there's any, if any of you have, a, any of you women have a husband who's not saved, it says, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Conversation means lifestyle. It says, if you'll subject yourself unto him, you can win him to Christ by the way you're living. Even if he won't ever read the word or hear the word or hear a preacher or nothing. By the way you're living, you can win him to Christ. So, this submissive love that a bride has for her husband is also a sanctifying love. It sets him apart for the work of the Holy Ghost to draw him to Jesus Christ. It does. When I was a child, I would end up getting drugged to women's prayer meetings on Tuesday if I was out of school because we didn't have babysitters. And when I remember when I was a child going to some of these, and the women that were in there, almost all of them had lost husbands, and they would pray for their husbands. How many of y'all think that's silly? I'm glad nobody raised their hands. I can now say of the women that were in that church praying for their lost husbands, not one of them had a husband die lost. It didn't all happen in a week. But y'all, a woman can have a big influence, spiritual influence, on her husband. The love of a wife or a husband is a sanctifying love. Also, it says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. The love I'm talking about is a pure or a sinless love. I don't say that a person's sinless, but the love itself, that love itself is pure. If it's truly submissive, it's pure. And it's sinless. Also, he goes into the appearance of the woman, you know, who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on apparel. Says it's not flashy, it's not even that, it's simple. Simple. Wives, I'll tell you this, and I'll promise this is true. Your husband likes simplicity. Probably more than you do. Simplicity will go a long way with your husband. Your appearance, you're not going to impress your husband by having a flashy appearance. I'll promise you that's true. Your husband doesn't need you to look gaudy. He doesn't care about that. He will not love you more because you're in style and up to date with the fads and fashions. He will not love you more because of that. That's not how you get your husband's love. That's not how. He says in verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's how you get your husband's love. It's not by the paint and powder. It's not by how good you cook. It's not by anything more than your spirit. So then a wife's love for her husband, I'm talking about effectual love to the gluing together of a marriage, is that love that is a spiritual love. It's a love that comes from the Spirit and it's of the Spirit. Are y'all with me on this? It comes from your spirit. Who you are, how you are, how you act is what matters. Not how you look. Your husband's not impressed with how you look. I mean, that sounds wrong, don't it? That's not... Your husband's not going to be more impressed. Your husband's not going to be more impressed because you added extra layers. Because you went out and followed what everybody else is doing. What he is going to be impressed with, though, is by your spirit. By what shows from your heart. So it's simple and it's spiritual. And he goes into verse 5, for after this manner, he's telling you, I know this works. And how does he say it? Because look what happened in old times, he said. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So it's a serving love. So then we have the men with a love that's nourishing, it said, to cherish and to nourish. And a woman who's showing her love and simplicity and service. Is that such a hard thing? It's a picture of Christ in the church. There's no tricks involved. There's no deceit. There's no guile. There's no manipulation. None of that. If we want the marriage that God intended us to have, it's based on one thing, and that's love. That's all it's based on. It says, likewise, ye husbands, the last verse I'm going to read, dwell with them according to knowledge. It said, learn something, son. Learn something. How many people go into marriage knowing everything about marriage? Not one. But we can learn. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife. And again, that talks about, remember we said nourish, cherish. As unto the weaker vessel. Open the door for her. Pick up heavy things. And by the way, you can apply that spiritually too. If you've got any knowledge in that scripture, you be the priest of your home. And as being heirs together, and there's the big word, heirs together, back to the two or one, of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Well, maybe that's not the most profound study in the world, but I believe that that is what marriage is about. Love. It's a picture of the love of God for man, and we do well if we carry out that picture by both loving each other. I'm convinced that if a man and a woman who are married love each other, that it won't be that hard to fulfill that, because by your natures you will fulfill that. I believe that. I'm going to close it there. Does anybody have anything on this picture of marriage? All right. We have a revival coming next week. So we won't have anything next Wednesday, from me anyhow. The week following, I believe I'm going to go into Proverbs 31 and look more particularly at a woman's role. I don't think I did very well at all on that earlier. And so we'll look at Proverbs 31 here in a couple of weeks. I appreciate you being here. I really do. And y'all be safe out there. Please be in prayer for the revival that's coming up. We're just going to dismiss with prayer. We do have a business meeting to follow. So members of the church, please stick around. Brother Craig, can you dismiss us in a word of prayer, sir?